Imagine you're in a group of friends, 5 to 10, for instance. Not necessarily close friends, they may be work fellows or mates, as we call them here, workmates, or they could be people you just know down the street socially, and you're in a group, and this group is transported to Antarctica or to the Arctic tundras or to a remote island, anywhere which is really cut off from civilization by a long way, and there's no chance, in the near future at least, of being rescued. And the food is dwindled for a long time, and we have to think about what will happen next. You've got to balance your survival versus the survival of the group. You may have someone who's very weak. You may have a number of issues, and you've got a lot of ethical issues to decide. Do you break the taboo of cannibalism, or how does that play out? Now, there are cases like this, and there is a case, a very interesting case I want to talk about in this Peter Hill Explains. And it's more for me, it's, as an educator, interesting that these cases of cannibalism in Australian history are very rarely discussed, partly because it's at school and you have to have everything nice, but there may be other reasons for it. So we've got a number of cases of cannibalism, and the way that it's treated by society at the time is an insight as well. One of the most interesting ones is something equivalent to Moby Dick. There was a American whale boat, and people were stranded. The whale destroyed their major boat. These people were stranded in the Pacific doldrums, and they went around, and they fished, but because it's part of the Pacific with no large fish in it, they began to starve, and eventually the crew ate each other, and they were picked up, and the remaining people who were survived were tried as cannibals, but they had little option to do. But there is other stories, and we'll get on to a major story here, but a story in the 16th century, or the 17th century, 1600, America was still young. There were the Pilgrims, etc., and the Dutch were visiting the Dutch East Indies in a new super ship, which unfortunately, as the story goes, and will be interesting to look at, was distracted because Satanists had got it on board and distracted the captain. And the ship sailed distractedly into the coast of Australia, got stranded. And these Dutch people, way before Captain Cook or the modern people we consider white Australians, were stranded. And eventually the Satanists who took control began eating the people involved. And this is a very interesting story, a difficult story to actually integrate into Australian history for a number of reasons. But the story I want to tell you about is the story of some convicts which escaped from a remote place, prison in remote Tasmania, incredibly, unbelievably remote. Even though it's a small island at the base of Australia, it's incredibly remote. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific, but in this case I'm discussing this from the point of view of stories which we allow to be told, and what would make it difficult to teach at school, and something definitely not taught to Australian people. Now, so Australia was set up, one of the major reasons, there was many layers and layers upon reasons for setting up Australia. There's strategic reasons for access for resources, strategic reasons to control it as a part of a global carver. There's also reasons to, as a social dumping ground for the English prisoners, to create a prison. In the time of putting people in, locking people up and putting them in a remote, horrible prison, that's a prison was not necessarily necessarily for reform, but for punishment. But look, there are many, many strands. There was sort of light imprisonment for labour, political prisoners, but there's the really bad prisoners that you wanted to extract a punishment on, and you wanted to put them in a terrible, terrible place. And the terrible, terrible place was a place called Sarah Island, and this is in the west coast, the wild, rough west coast of Tasmania. So you had the Southern Ocean pounding with huge waves on the outside of this. And this river, I think it's the Strawn River, goes up through that part of Tasmania. And it winds through getting the tannin from the trees in the area, and the river, the water is blood red. And so you have this wild island sitting in the mouth of this river. And the water is red, and the convicts who were sent there were sent to to end their days there in really harsh conditions, and we're told that the water is red due to blood and sharks, all this fear associated with it. And they were sent up in teams up the river to get the famous Australian Huon pine. Now, the Huon pine is a fantastic wood. It's got huge amounts of oil, very strong grains. It's the ideal wood for making ships. Now, it's obviously not an expendable resource. It takes 2,000 years for it to grow. So they were cutting down trees which were growing since the time of Christ, but they didn't realize that. And the trees don't rot in water, so you can actually find them on the bottom of the river and actually lift them up and cut them. Very arduous labor. And the convicts there were considered criminal convicts. And so this is the British Empire's worst prison. And so a group of these hardened convicts escaped one day in a work team, seven of them, and they had to traverse 100, 200 kilometres of wild country, which is uninhabited, wild complex hills and streams, and they had to traverse this place. And obviously, you don't send a convict team out with heaps and heaps of supplies. You send them out with chains, a little bit of food, a few rags, and stuff like that, because that's the way you can make them come home. There's some guards and stuff like that. So about seven people escaped, and they made their arduous way from the west to the east of Australia, trying to reach the townships of Hobart and some other townships up the centre of Tasmania. And this is a journey, if it was by an equipped team of explorers, it would be recorded as an epic journey. So as time came to pass, people became weak, a member became weak, and it was agreed that when the person died, they'd look after him, but then they'd eat him. So the team ate the first one, and then so it happened until it was down to three people having eaten their way across. So as they made 50, 20 kilometres progress, they would gradually eat it. And then eventually it was down to three people who knew that they were going to be eaten if they were asleep, because it's now the process of cannibalism had taken hold. And so people desperately tried to stay awake, because if they fell asleep, they'd be killed in their sleep and eaten, because it's the process of the weakest person gets eaten all the time. Until eventually there was only one person left, Alexander Pierce, a famous convict, a convict which should be known as Australia's cannibal convict, but is strangely unknown. So he eventually walked out and gave himself up to the British soldiers, the authorities, and he quite frankly said, "Look, I've made it all this way." They found it very hard to believe. And he freely said, "Look, I've eaten all my comrades. What's happened to them? I've eaten them." But what's happened is that at this time, in terms of a story not going into belief systems, the people said, "We don't believe you." And for this, we're not going to hang you or anything. We're actually going to, because cannibalism would be automatic hanging, we're going to actually take you all the way back to Sarah Island. So after all this journey and event, he survived this entire place, working out that it's really not worth it to go all the way to Sarah Island. So I took him back to Sarah Island. It's an interesting place to visit because the buildings and the paths are all drenched with history because it was eventually abandoned as a bad shipbuilding concern. So the main idea of the British power resurgence after the 6 year war was their focus, the 7 years war was their focus on shipbuilding. So wherever they went, they built ships. And of course, the convicts managed to undermine the shipbuilding ability. So a building rather small, but very good seaworthy ships, but the convicts would actually build them and sabotage them. So sabotage them subtly. There's one act of sabotage where they put the stone ballast in the bottom of the ship, but they made the stones round. So when the ship hit a storm, the stones would move and the ship would list and sink. So they did all these sorts of things. And so reports were that we're going to build a better model prison with new concepts of solitary confinement and labour, which you can supervise rather than sending people out doing all these sorts of things. This is Port Arthur. But before this happened, they sent Alexander Pierce back to Sarah Island, and he again spoke with a group of people and got another group of people to leave. But in this case, he didn't head east. He headed a little bit north, and as the people got concerned, he killed them one by one and ate them. And a passing ship saw a campfire and came up and went ashore to find him. And there he was with a piece of human bone, and it was very obvious that he had cannibalized everyone. There was bits of body about the place, and it was duly a scandal at the time, actually taken back to Hobart and hung. And that's the story of Australia's convict cannibal. But the interesting thing is that it's not widely known in Australia. It's not taught at schools for a number of reasons, as you can imagine. But the discussion of those reasons are not happening. It's a very interesting story that it's not been communicated. So that's my interest in it. I'm trying to actually think about the story behind it, because it's not that it's a bad, or there's moral problems, there's a whole heap of problems associated with it. It's just where we have heroic stories of Australians fighting against adversity. Is this the right thing to do? Is this the right way to go across? Is our editing of Australian stories, what do we include, what do we not include? I'll go back and tell you about some of the rhetoric of the Batavia, the Dutch cannibalism, and some other weird and wonderful stories about remote Australia driving European culture to extremes. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, keep on thinking and teaching science.